The clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO and on KWFX 100.1 in Woodward. Hope you guys are having a great day. Good news happening right now. I mean, last Friday and Monday, chance rain here and that was it. But now it's like we got water on the way, it looks like. Actually, the coolest spot in the state of Oklahoma right now is 66 degrees at Eric, Oklahoma, and it is raining there, according to radar. And 76 at Hollis, 79 at Buffalo, 76 at Slapout, 75 at Canadian, Texas, and 78 degrees at Perryton, Texas. So anyway, I'm looking at the radar, I'm looking at the weather forecast, and man, things have changed dramatically, which is good. It's for the better. Looks like 50% chance of rain tonight in western Oklahoma, 40% tomorrow, 40% tomorrow night, 30, 40, all the way through next Wednesday, Thursday. So hopefully we get some rain, and we need more than just a quarter inch, too. We need half inch. We need an inch. We need a pond filler. The ponds would be great to be full going into the winter, having some good water source, because these ponds, I drove up to between Hammond and Butler today. Gentleman yesterday heard me on the asking for the bar and auger for the back of my dump bed. Cowboy Kevin from up there, right there by the wildlife refuge, come through for me, and I drove through there, back roads, going there and coming back, and ponds are getting really low, and I'm not so sure that up there in that area where he was there north of 33 highway, they're not a little bit drier than we are down here, because I didn't see any green grass, period, not even a tent of it. So anyway, so this rain will be a blessing. I don't know how it'll help us with the grass, but it will help with the wheat pasture and all these guys that got all their crops planted. I did see in the Carter area yesterday, a couple peanut farmers down there digging. They were rolling her out of the dirt, and I didn't stop and look to see how good they look, but they are peanut. It has begun. The peanut harvest has officially begun in Beckham County, and that's just because that I know of. Maybe somebody's dug before they did yesterday, but not that I'd seen. But anyway, so they let the games begin. It's going to be a long month. Everybody's going to be working their tails off to get the peanuts in. And also cotton harvesting's not too far away. And speaking of cotton, I got something to talk to you about here. Let me roll it down here. I saved this article. Where are we at? All right. Sales are lagging, shipments hold steady. Net export sales for the week ending on September 22nd were 32,300 bales, and there were 480 pound bales. This brings the total to 2022-23 sales to about 8.4 million bales. Total sales at the same point in 21-22 marketing year was about 7.7 million bales. Total new crop estimates for 2023-2024 sales already at 1 million bales. Shipments for the wheat were 194,600 bales, bringing total exports to date to 1.9 million bales, compared with 1.6 million bales at comparable point in the 21-22 marketing year. There was I looked in there, The Cotton Council inducted some, have announced some inductees into their Cotton Hall of Fame, I guess. I don't know either one of these gentlemen, but I'll name them off. Maybe you guys know them. Steve Burrett, he's from Texas, and Kenneth Hood is from Mississippi. They will be in the Cotton Research and Promotion Hall of Fame 2022 class. So anyway, and then there was another thing I seen here about, if I can find it, where are we at? It was pretty good news for the cotton industry. Well, it disappeared. Anyway, we'll figure it out. There was a, oh, here it is. Cotton Council International reports that some participants of the Cotton USA Solutions Technical Webinar in Thailand said they expect to purchase an additional 64,000 U.S. cotton bales valued at $37 million. Participants from 10 Thailand mills attended the webinar to hear directly from mill experts on ways to improve efficiency and productivity in their spinning operations through the use of U.S. cotton. Three Cotton USA Solutions technical consultants presented new insights that educated participants on the U.S. technical advantages. The topics was spinning fine counts with U.S. cotton, tools and best practices in process control of cotton spinning, and the importance of abundant conditions in the processing of U.S. cotton. So a lot of good things happening with cotton, except for I'm going to say the price. Anyway, you're just joining us today. We are live on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX Radio out of Elk City and respectively Woodward. We are also live on Facebook. We are live on our website, KECOFM.com. If you get out of radio range, the Paragon app, Paragon Communications app, is a free download, and you can get the show on that thing if you got phone signal and all kinds of ways. Also, guess what came out today? This morning, the Penny News. I know I've seen lines lined up all the way around all the convenience stores to get their copy of the Penny News, but if you haven't got yours, please get it, because on the front of the Penny News, farm equipment timed online only auction is happening from Schrader auction.com. But there's a 1998 John Deere 8100, which is a good tractor, with only 6,300 hours on it, and it has duals on it, and the weights are on the front, windows are tinted. I know somebody's looking for a good tractor. They also got a John Deere field cultivator, 450 grain drill from John Deere. There's a 335 20-foot tandem disc, and there's a moldboard plow, a John Deere moldboard plow. They got a gooseneck stock trailer, 28-footer, a bushwhacker, a batwing mower, a 20-foot Kraus 4000 chisel, a 15-foot chisel from Kraus, a Kraus one-way disc, Garfield, a dirt mover. I got one. That's a 12-footer, same one as mine. There's also a Wiley 500-gallon sprayer with a Honda motor on it with booms on it. Looks just like the one I got, except I don't have booms on mine, and mine's only 300 gallons, but it's pretty similar. And there's a W80 grain auger, a Richardson sweep plow, a 435 grain cart, and a Hera. So anyway, but that tractor caught my attention. That's pretty good. That's low hours as far as I'm concerned for 1998. Hadn't been used that much, but anyway, check it out on the front page of the Penny News, and there's all kinds of stuff in the Penny News as usual. Of course, there's three pages in there with Today in Ag. Liz is changing my picture up every week now. She's got me in there with my dog Zoe and a buck I'd kill with my bow here 2 or 3 years ago. Anyway, you guys check it out and check that tractor out. Hey, guess you don't have to put additive in it. Remember that. It's one of those kind of tractors. You guys remember that? Text line is always open and dear my show. 580-225-9697. Also, we got some tickets that I'm going to give away today that they asked me to give away. So I'm not even going to ask you a question. What I need you to do is text in to 580-225-9697, your name, and tell me you want to go see this concert. But at Sugar Creek coming up this Saturday at 8 o'clock, the doors will open at 6:30, will be the Drifters, the Platters, and Coasters on the Motown. And you guys remember watching them back in the 70s? I always watched Motown, and what's the other one that Dick Clark hosted anyway, Top 20 or whatever that was. Anyway, but it was pretty good. So they'll be there this Saturday night. If you want to go see the Drifters, the Platters, and the Coasters, I'll take the third and fourth text. Just text me your name in and tell me you want to go see the concert. I'm going to give two sets away, the third and fourth. Two sets of tickets, which each ticket's worth two admissions into the Sugar Creek Casino. And you guys will have fun at that. Well, when I come back, we're going to talk about what's happening on the grain markets. Everything's in the red today, but oil. And we'll see what's happening with that. Check out what's going on with livestock. Let you know what happened at Hobart yesterday. From what I've seen, the market is down. So anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 3rd. 2,125 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 348 brought 195. 3 at 405 brought 174. 12 at 493 brought 160. 17 at 601 brought 173. 6 at 678 brought 146.50. 9 at 708 brought 140. 26 at 762 brought 173.75. 4 head of heifers at 336 brought 166. 12 at 415 brought 155. 10 at 450 brought 151. 8 at 561 brought 157. 12 at 597 brought 162. 54 at 600 brought 154. 37 at 656 brought 163. Butcher cows were 10 to 76. Butcher bulls brought 45 to 104.50. Bred cows were 1100 to 1400. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I don't know if any of you guys are watching on Facebook, but I'm wearing my new hat given to me by Keith's Butcher Shop here in Elk City in Burns Flat. It's camo, got the orange patch on it. Goes good with my Quail Forever t-shirt. I couldn't wear a nice shirt this morning since I had to help load that auger up with Cowboy Kevin. But anyway, it's slick rig up. Just bolts right on the side of the trailer. It's going to make life a lot easier for me. He was kind of being a little smart aleck there when he walked out. He was carrying two buckets. He said, "So you need more buckets? Is that what you came for?" "Really? No, I came for the auger so I didn't have to use those buckets." But he's pretty humorous. And he showed me his donkey that he bought for coyotes. And I'm telling you what, I'm pretty sure he got him a good one, because this donkey, he had that ornery look in his face. And matter of fact, Kevin said he kicked him yesterday. And then while we were looking at another piece of equipment there in the yard, the dog come to visit me, and the donkey escorted him out of that pasture. So anyway, looks like he's gonna be a good one. Well, we got a couple winners, Crystal Marshall and Tom Johnson. You guys, I'll put your names on a couple set of these tickets for Motown at the Sugar Creek Casino this Saturday. Doors open 6:30, and we'll go from there. Hey guys, if anybody else would like to go, if you'll text me your name and stuff in, I will more than likely get you to go. We got a few sets left, and they told me to give them away to people that wanted them. So anyway, make sure you come pick them up. I'll have them out there in front desk after my show today. Currently right now at the, I don't know if you can hear him in the background, but the same guy that installed this Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center here in our studio. We are at 76.5 degrees. Humidity's at 42. Let's see what the radar is looking like. Looks like it was, I don't know that we're getting any heavy rain, but it's raining in Beckman County and southern Roger Mills. A little bit, maybe some showers in the northern part of Greer County, but that's it right now. Hey, it's a good start. Might not be getting much rain out of it, but it's a really good start for this showing up. So, I don't know. I love it. Anyway, I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast coming up for you in the next show. Let's check out some stuff that's going on with the grains. You want to? Right now, corn futures, December 672. They're in red, pretty good, about 1120. And March is 680. May 682. July 676. Soybeans are probably hit the hardest. Well, look down this chart here. Red, the hard red winter wheat is pretty hard hit too. Soybeans, November 1355, January 1367, March is 1377. Soybean meal, October 397.80 a short ton, December 393.20, January 392.10. Soybean oil, October 69.20, December 65.67, January is 64.27 a pound. Hard red winter wheat, December $9.66, down 24. March is down 23 at 963. Oats taking a hit again. They're below $4 again, 394 for December, $3.97 for March. And see what cotton's doing. Cotton's is going steadily backwards. Maybe tomorrow it's going to be below 80 the way it's trending here. December is 83 cents a pound, and March is 81 cents a pound. The only guy making money today is the famous Bill Dance from Delhi, Oklahoma, and his sugar is up to almost 18 cents a pound. Anyway, oil's up to almost $90. right now, and it's up. It's only up a half a dollar today, but it's up. Natural gas is back above $7, and looks like S&P, NASDAQ, and the Dow, everything is down. It's in the red big time today. Well, let's check out what's going on with the cash grain prices at the elevators in Texas and in Oklahoma. Hard red winter wheat, December. Well, nope, that's not. We're not looking on the base. $9.13. It was up there pretty good yesterday. It's down almost 30 cents. Corn is $7.75. Cash for Milo, $7.10. And soybeans are $13.29. All right, let's check out what caused all this commotion. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading on reports that purchasers of U.S. agriculture products are pulling orders due to low water levels and slow movement on the Mississippi River. Water levels have been dropping on the river amidst dry weather for weeks. Because of the slow movement, some exporters operating along the Gulf of Mexico have pulled offers for October and November delivery because of uncertainty of deliveries, according to Joe Carlin of Western Milling told the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. Coast Guard said 8 ships have grounded in the past week due to low water levels. On Friday, a grounding in the Louisiana stopped river traffic in both directions for days, according to the Army Corps of Engineers. A strengthening dollar is also crimping demand for U.S. grain and beans. The dollar, which dropped to the lowest level in 2 weeks on Tuesday, rebounded yesterday and is up 0.1% overnight. A strong greenback makes dollar-denominated goods, in this case U.S. ag products, more expensive for overseas buyers. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 11 cents to $13.58 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal dropped $1 to $3.97.50 a short ton, while soybean oil lost 76 cents to $64.78. Corn futures for December delivery was down 2.5 pennies to $6.81.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 8 cents to $8.94 a bushel, while Kansas City futures declined 7.25 to $9.83 a bushel. Well, Miss Jancy Ripetoe, she couldn't make it today because she had to stay in school. She missed 3 days due to the Tulsa Stock Show, so I'll have an update tomorrow for you guys on what happened at the Tulsa State Fair with any of our Western Oklahoma 4-H and FFA kids, see how they came out. But she usually does ethanol output, so I'm going to do it. Ethanol output in the U.S. rebounded from a 7-month low last week, while inventories declined. Production rose to 889,000 barrels a day in this week that ended on September 30th, according to the EIA. That's up from 855,000 barrels a week earlier, and which was the week earlier was the lowest since late February. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output jumped to an average 840,000 barrels a day, and that was up 41,000 barrels a day from the week before. Freeze warnings and watches have been issued for much of the Dakotas as cold weather envelopes the region, according to the National Weather Service. In South Dakota, temperatures are expected to drop in the 20s overnight into Friday, according to the National Weather Service. A freeze warning will take effect starting at 9 o'clock tonight and last through 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Further south in the southern plains, thunderstorms are forecast for day and tonight in the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. The storms will likely rumble through the weekend. Thunderstorms will be possible at times Friday through Monday across portions of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles and western Oklahoma. If storms do develop, they are expected to remain below severe levels at this time. And according to one of my favorite people in the world, Miss Lacey Swope, she said it's just going to be nice, cool, wet, coffee weather. Fire the old fireplace up, maybe. She said, it might even be that cool. We got the Texas OU game, one of the best rivalries in the country as far as I'm concerned. It's coming up, so it's going to be a good time to fire the grills up, cook some food, get you some refreshments, and we're going to see who's the worst team in the Big 12. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, it's going to be a good one. When I come back, we'll talk a little bit about livestock futures, see what happened at Hobart yesterday. And I don't want you guys to go anywhere during the show because I'm going to talk pumpkins. I got a report from the Texas A&M AgriLife on pumpkin production in Texas, and a new USA record was set for the biggest pumpkin ever and broke the one that I think was set last year or the year before by a matter of pounds. But wait till you hear about the size of this pumpkin. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Have you ever decided to DIY that home project and then painted yourself into an corner? You may have some basic fix-it or build-it know-how, but could use advice on how to get that job done right. And what about tools? Do you really want to buy a self-propelled stump grinder? Well, there's a business in Elk City that'll help you tackle those home projects by offering advice on how to get the job done and provide you with the proper tools for the job. That business is DJ's Rental and Sales at 911 South Main Street in Elk City. Bobby and Trish have been serving the area since 1988, and they take pride in helping folks. Maybe you have a leaky water line that runs under the driveway that you're not sure how to deal with. They're good listeners and don't charge a thing for their advice. They'd be more than happy to visit with you. Don't get stuck in a moment. Go check out DJ's Rental and Sales at 911 South Main in Elk City, where they rent most everything, and they sell mowers, too. Check DJ's Rental and Sales out on Facebook and inside the Penny News.
The Depot Trading Company Men's and More store in downtown Elk City is one of Elk City's newest stores and one of Elk City's oldest buildings. When you step inside, you'll find a great selection of men's clothing, a couple of designer women's clothing lines, plus the most unique men's, pets, and household gifts, plus barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and indoor and outdoor party gear. And you can order online through their Facebook page. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More store, 318 South Main Street in downtown Elk City. Come on in and enjoy the ride. This weekend, 96.5 KCL presents a racing doubleheader of speed at the all-new Elk City Motorsports Park. The super-fast 305 Race Saver Sprint cars run for an increased purse of $1,000 to win. Also running are the limited modifies for a $600 payout. Then Sunday afternoon, tuners and enduro cars combined into a 90-minute event around 200 laps with a $1,000 winner-take-all. Sunday grandstand tickets are only $5. Kids under 8 are free. Located 1 mile south of Hutch's on Merritt Road, 1/4 mile west. Don't miss this doubleheader Saturday night. Gates open at 5, races start at 7. Sunday afternoon, gates open at 1, races start at 3. Find out more on Facebook.
With a small farmer, a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons and free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All I was trying to find that listing on my travels this morning up into Roger Mills in Custer County. I seen a auction sign out there, I think it's 2,547 acres. Man, that's a big plot of land. I know somebody out there's got some extra cash laying around. If you go purchase that, I'll come up there and help you with, I'll help you out on the deal. That way you can stay making money to keep the upkeep on it. But anyway, that's a pretty good size operation. 2,500 and something acres up there between Hammond and the Wildlife Refuge. I'll have to check it out on the map here during the next break. But anyway, I was doing a quick look up when the Penny News was six. We had another winner. Our winners are Tom Johnson and also Crystal Marshall. And she just texts back, "Hey, I didn't hear who won. I was out on the tractor." So anyway, yes, you won. And then a name I haven't seen in a long time, or even thought of, to be honest with you, Johnny Richardson. He wants front row tickets, so I'm going to get him back row tickets. So anyway, thanks for texting in, Johnny. So anyway, got three big-time winners on Today in Ag, Johnny, Crystal, and Tom. So anyway, congratulations, everybody. I will have your tickets out there with your names on them shortly after the show. Be sure and pick them up today or before 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow, because it is, that show is Saturday, and the office will be closed tomorrow. They usually open till 5, but anyway, pick them up before you can do that. All right, let's check out some livestock stuff going on. Here we have, come on, computer. Live cattle for October, 145.12. December, 147.87. February, 151.52. And April is 155.72. Feeder cattle, October, 175.90. November, 176.57. Lean hogs are actually the only thing in the green today. Is October, 92.15. And December, 77.75. And February's 80.20. All right, let me bring up what I seen at the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. Get these pop-ups. Oh my, I forgot to save that. So I gotta get on Facebook. Bear with me here a second. Don't take, there we go. I knew it wouldn't take me long. All right, yesterday's report. I don't know how many head was there, but let's see. Steers in the 300 to 400 pound range, high was 186. 400 to 500 pound, high was 174. Average was 162.91. Then we get down here into the 600 to 700 pound range, a little different story. 170 was, and then we get into the heifers, and they were basically, didn't matter how big you are, from the 200 to 700 pound range, they was anywhere from $1.47 to $1.58. Cows were down considerably. Yes, it is. It is the Lee Ranch. I knew that. I remember. How many of you guys are old enough? Because I had this conversation with my buddy over there north of Canute K-Bar Ranch. He said, "You know, you're old enough to remember, but how many remember those Leeway trucking, all them green, I believe the truck cabs were green, and then they had the yellow signs. Some of the cabs I think were yellow, but they had the Leeway on the side of those trucks with green signs and big yellow letters. I remember them back in the day, because we had them, Hodges Trucking, Turner Brothers Trucking, and then late there in that first boom in the early 80s, we had Bill Jackson Truck and all those trucking companies right there as you come into Oklahoma City. Cows were, looks like the high end was 82.50, but the average was 64.69. So I'm looking at that, probably not very many sold in the 80s. And even the bulls are down. Average bulls were 75.76, and the highest one was 105, so it was probably a big boy. And that was at Hobart. Woodward's having their feeder calf sale today. Be interesting to see what that's going on. But I will tell you something. That, hang on here. Let me open the Penny News up that Jerry Nine said that was interesting. Open it up here. There it is. He said, feeder cattle are scarce and buyers know it. He said they sold a load of steers weighing 834 pounds that brought $180 per hundredweight, and 68 steers weighing 896 that brought $172.50. Those numbers do not fit my calculator, Jerry Nine says. Sold some young bred cows up to $15.25 per head. And he also asked, please pray for rain, and we need it. So the feeder cows must be something going on there that we're not 100% sure about, but we'll know. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. Where is my Texas pumpkin hills? So, according to Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service experts, Texas pumpkin producers experienced a second subpar season in a row as the drought conditions led to fewer management issues but lower yields, according to them. However, lower yields are translating into higher prices and demand. Mark Carroll, AgriLife Extension Agriculture Agent, Floyd County, said drought contributed to below average yields, though many fields performed better than 2021 when too much rain led to yields being 30% below average. So it's Dane if you do, Dane if you don't. One too wet or too dry. The pumpkin harvest in Floyd County, he says, is the top producing area in the state, should wrap up within the next week or two. Producers report a mixed bag of results due to the drought, he said. Some who have ample irrigation capacity improved production by 10 to 20% compared to last year, while others reported yields 10% below last year. Boggy conditions make it difficult impossible for producers to enter the fields to manage the crops last year, and the yields suffered. We had virtually no rainfall this summer, he said, so the crop replied entirely on it relied entirely on irrigation. Getting the crop well established was an issue, but by July most fields looked good because pumpkins do really well in the heat. Producers typically plant pumpkins between early May and June, depending on the production window for harvest. Operations hoping to provide pumpkins for wholesale markets around the state and country want harvest in early September, while producers hoping to fill direct to consumer demand want harvest to begin in late September. That's good to know. I didn't even know that. Most of the state's few thousand acres of pumpkins are grown in Floyd County. And it's just where is that? Floyd County's north of Lubbock, if I remember right. Yeah, it is. Pumpkins represent a small amount of acreage. But Illinois, who's the big producer in the United States, does 90% of the nation's crop. Man, Illinois has got it going on. Corn, soybeans, pumpkins, no telling what else they're growing. But a handful of Texas growers continue to produce high-demand heirloom and jack-o'-lantern standard varieties. Their harvest is sold at wholesale and shipped throughout Texas and Oklahoma and as far east as Mississippi. Some producers sell pumpkins and pumpkin-based products delivered to the consumers at a seasonal destination stores. If anybody's listening out there and they're bored and they want to cook a pumpkin pie, with gluten, not gluten-free, but with gluten crust in it, I'd be glad to take it off your hands. But anyway, there was in Knox County in Texas also, their production was down 50%. One of the gentlemen that produces pumpkins there says he has 20 varieties is what he produces, and he makes really good cash. It's a good cash crop. Crop emerge was an issue in 50 of the 150 acres he planted. He planted around 100 acres around Memorial Day. Rainfall followed the planting, and the plants emerged well. He planted the additional 50 acres 2 weeks later, and only 20% of those plants emerged even with irrigation. He suspects poor pollination was another issue that hurts yields in his field. He noted a much lower bee presence this season. I think we've talked about that. my garden wasn't doing its squat until the bees showed up. So anyway, it's and then plus when you're pollinating at 110 degrees, that doesn't help. It doesn't help anything at all. So anyway, well, that's enough about pumpkins. But listen to this in New York City. Let me get back to that picture. There we go. In New York, this 2,554-pound pumpkin was grown in upstate New York, not New York City, has set a new U.S. record for the heaviest. State and national records fell over the weekend at the Great Pumpkin Farm in Buffalo suburb of Clarence, where Scott Anstruthers, I guess I said that right. That's a crazy name. He got an S and a Z and an S on the end of his name. Entry broke the previous national record of 2,528 pounds, so he was 26 pounds heavier than the world record. Illinois is the state that grows the most pumpkins, leading in acreage and yield. Illinois produced 564 million pounds in 2020, as much as the other top five states productive, which is Texas, Indiana, Virginia, and California combined. Texas and Virginia each produced about 100 million pounds of pumpkins, where Michigan produced about 90 million pounds. So, interesting news in the pumpkin world. So, when we get back, we'll have your forecasts for northwestern Oklahoma and southwestern Oklahoma. I'll do them together today, see how that works out. And we'll have some more news from Professor Beck at OSU. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 30th. 2,674 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 339 brought 206. 8 at 531 brought 160. 5 at 571 brought 164. 7 at 619 brought 158.50. 15 at 694 brought 157. 4 at 746 brought 160. 5 at 877 brought 125.50. 5 head of heifers at 310 brought 175. 16 at 451 brought 166.50. 6 at 478 brought 156. 5 at 560 brought 150.50. 7 at 619 brought 140. 25 at 840 brought 152. 5 at 1,004 brought 125. Butcher cows were 10 to 74.50. Butcher bulls brought 52 to 111. Bred cows were 450 to 1535. Pairs brought 1025 to 1860. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank, somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently, it is 77 degrees at Woodward. The winds are zilch, southwest 3 miles an hour. Today, sunny, 78. Friday, 40% chance of storms, 61 for a high. It's going to be chilly. Saturday's high is 54. 40% chance of storms. Saturday night, 54. 40% chance of rain. Sunday, 30% chance of rain. Sunday night, 20%. And then back to a little bit warmer weather come Columbus Day is Monday, 77 degrees with a 30% chance of rain. And that's what's happening up north. Let's check out what's happening down south. Looks like, according to the radar, Beckham County and now moving into Custer County, some rain, looks like light rain, I'm guessing. Let's check out the forecast, and we got the Hobart Farm and Garden forecast. Today, mostly cloudy. Tonight, 50% chance of storms. Tomorrow, 66 degrees for a high, 40% chance of storms tomorrow and tomorrow night and Saturday. 55 for a high Saturday. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain. 30% chance Sunday, 30% chance Sunday night, and Columbus Day, just like northwestern Oklahoma, we'd be back up to 77 degrees with a 30% chance of late afternoon storms. Well, there we go. We got rain in the forecast every day. Surely somebody will get some, hopefully. And let's see here. No. No, Mr. Tom, you can't pick him up Saturday. You got to pick him up here at the studio either today or tomorrow. And then I got one guy called in or text in that his brother used to drive for Leeway a long time ago. And then what else we got? Oh, I'm sure you guys heard me talk about it earlier and you've seen it on Facebook. It's the most popular thing since Joe Biden was elected on Facebook is these guys that got caught cheating putting fishing weights in their walleye fish up there in Michigan. I was talking about those pumpkins and this guy texted in and bet that pumpkin was full of fishing weights. I doubt it. They could probably see if it, I guess it could have a false bottom in it, you know, so 28 extra pounds or 26 extra pounds of stuff would be pretty funny to go along. All right, let's get on with the show. Cow-calf corner, Paul Beck, one of my favorite guys from Oklahoma State. He is the beef nutrition specialist. And a recent presentation by Dr. Peel, another one of my favorite guys, we've shown that the projected value of gains for growing calves this winter are in the 135 to 140 per pound range and has the potential to go even higher based on projections for available feeder cattle numbers next spring. What this means is if we can put gain on calves for less than the projected value of gain backgrounding our calves to higher weights, it should be profitable. Pasture is probably not an option, so calves may have to be fed all winter. This may be difficult to do with this year with reports of hay sales in the country being anywhere from $150 to $170 a bale and feed prices over $400 a ton. But based on these feed prices, our most common feeding program of free choice hay and about 1% of body weight of supplement would cost about $2.60 per day and around $1.63 per pound of gain, with gains around 1.5 pounds per day. Other feeding programs may be more profitable but are much more complex and management intensive. Limit feeding a higher concentrate grower diet to about 90% of the projected free choice intake could achieve gains of around 2 to 2.5 pounds per day that could cost $125 to $130 per pound of gain. Be sure to feed the calves appropriately. Never excessively thin body condition score 1, 2, or 3, nor excessively fat body conditions where score 7, 8, or 9 would be considered ideal from a marking perspective. Excessive fat or fleshy calves will be discounted because of a reduced potential for gain. Overly thin cattle may or may not receive premiums because of the possibility of major gains. Moderate flesh body condition scores 4 or 5 should be targeted condition at marketing. Body fat rate occurs at different rates depending on the animal's frame, score, sex, post-weaning background gains, and growth promoting technologies used, for instance, implants and beta. How much gain should we try to put on calves during the backgrounding period? A medium frame steer weighing 450 pounds with an expected finish weight of 1,200 pounds and a beginning body fat percentage of 15% could gain 2.5 pounds per day and still only reach a body condition of 5 if marketed at 600 pounds. And that's kind of where I'm shooting for on these ones that we're calving right now. A medium frame heifer should only be pushed to gain 2 pounds a day because of fat deposits at a greater rate in the heifers, and expected mature weights are 100 pounds lighter than steers. All targeted rates of gains depend on accurate estimation of mature weights, previous nutrition, and the use of growth promoting technologies. Backgrounding programs are an important component of adding value to calves post-weaning. Cost-effective nutrition programs should be designed to market these calves in the best possible manner. And there you got it. That's true story. One other thing, what lessons did you learn back in 2011 through 2014? Did you learn much? Because that had to be one of the most severe droughts that we've been through since, or probably one of the most severe droughts ever. I mean, back during the Dust Bowl days, I don't think there's too many people that I got two sisters that are alive right now that was born during the Dust Bowl days, but they don't remember much about it, except, you know, they were kids, and that my mom, when she lived up there north of Hammond, up there by Moorwood, that they would cover, she would cover them, two sisters and two brothers, with a sheet every night, and then her and my dad would pick the sheet up and carefully take it outside, because, you know, those houses back there in the Dust Bowl days, they didn't have the good windows we do today. So what kind of lessons did you learn? Let's see what was going on. The effects of drought are devastating, but agriculture data collected during such challenging times is a valuable teaching tool. Oklahoma State Extension specialists have been going through this and kind of taking some notes. The Oklahoma Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist, Daryl Peel, offered the following takeaways on a drought response, and I think these are kind of interesting, and we'll just go over a few of them briefly, and I want to finish it up tomorrow. Abusing pastures, especially in the native range. Slow recoveries when the drought is over and may impact productivity for years. And I've seen some of that going on. There's still some pastures I know in Beckham County and some Red Hills that haven't recovered from that drought 2011. Management for pasture and grazing is very critical during the drought. Rotation is great. Don't grub it off, because when it does start raining, and maybe weeds take over. Keeping more cows than rancher can reasonably manage leads to delayed losses. True fact, bringing in hay from multiple locations can lead to weed issues in pastures. True fact, When cattle numbers decline, the market will respond with dramatic and volatile price signals. 2011 and 14, record prices, because I remember I bought some for breeding cows and feeder cow prices, followed by a very dramatic price crash, if you guys remember right. So anyway, there was this, just if you have to, just cull some cows right now, because we got rain in the forecast, but that don't mean it's the end of the drought. So anyway, we'll cover some more on that from Dr. Peel and Dr. Beck tomorrow on drought. I want to really get into details on a few things. Anyway, you guys, the music's playing, and I want to tell you thank you for listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.